This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is how much we talked about running back, how deep the running back draft class was. It was the deepest class out of any position in this year's draft. And you didn't have to spend it on a first or second round pick. Hell, you didn't have to do it in the third round. But they didn't draft a running back till the seventh round. And this is not even a knock on the kid that they drafted. It's not about like him being bad or good or anything.
No.
It's just priority-wise, I think the ceiling of the player you draft in the seventh round is lower than the ceiling of the guy I thought they could have drafted, or multiple guys they could have drafted in the third or fourth round. Does it mean that this kid can't help them? Of course not. Talking about Smith, by the way, of course, at SMU. I take issue with that. That is it. That, to me, you look at the running back room right now, and they've got Pacheco coming back from an injury, who I still think will have a huge season for them. Kareem Hunt doesn't have the explosiveness, as we know, anymore. Elijah Mitchell's there. He's been hurt most of his career. We'll see what happens. Carson Steele. And then now you got a couple undrafted running backs they've brought in, and then Smith in the seventh round. And after this season, the only guy under contract will be the guy they drafted, assuming he makes the team. And then who knows about the undrafted guys. And so are they in a position where next year they're going to have to spend money in free agency on a running back again? Or are they going to have to spend a premium pick on running back next year?
Fourth, third, second, something higher.
Because
sure.
Smith, he could, I'm not saying he won't play this year. I mean, honestly, best case scenario is Smith shows something and Elijah Mitchell stays healthy and he ends up being a big surprise. And Elijah Mitchell ends up being a guy you extend after this season. And it's Mitchell and Smith and you go from there. Because otherwise, I don't know how they're not going to have to spend a premium pick next season on a running back.
I'm not even kidding. Like, this is not, oh God, this is so hard. Because I think fans always want to be the ultimate optimist, and that's okay. And so I'm going to come off as like the pessimist. Here's the optimist point of view. This, to me, means that they are very confident about the type of season Isaiah Pacheco could have. This is a ringing endorsement for Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. I think the Chiefs director of player personnel is going to talk at 11 o'clock today. I am confident one of the questions he will be asked is why they did not target running back earlier in the draft in order to try to secure that position a little bit more for the long term. I take this as an endorsement for Isaiah Pacheco. For the Chiefs fans who were just like, they got their guy, Breshad Smith, that's insane. He is just as likely to not make the team than have any kind of impact for the team this year. This is no different, draft-wise, than bringing in Carson Steele as an undrafted free agent. And Carson Steele made the team. That was a surprise. I want to remind people that Carson Steele was not originally projected to make the team. So, like, Smith is going to have to earn it.
Yeah, now his comp from his own college coaches was Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, and look, but that to me is the, and after all that, Carson Steele finished the year with 183 yards. You and I were just looking for more. What this boils down to is I was looking for a possible dude, like an absolute, like a future starting running back in the NFL. And it's not that Smith has 0% chance of doing that because Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh round pick. But we talk about Isaiah Pacheco like he was a unicorn. Getting a starting running back out of the seventh round, that's hard to do. It's really unlikely. The odds are infinitely
like what do you guys make of the
in your favor.
What do you guys make of the running back room this year?
Kind of mediocre.
I think Pacheco. We forgot how effective he was prior to the injury. So I do believe Pacheco will bounce back on off season of being healthy and he'll be effective. But if you wanted the explosiveness in the offensive backfield, to me, I don't know if they accomplished that this offseason. And Elijah Mitchell is a wild card because of his health. Kareem Hunt, we just know what he is. Short yardage, fine. It's just for a running back room that has four or five guys in it right now, it's like, does it really excite you?
I think it's one of the worst 10 on paper. It's one of the worst 10 in the league.
I think so.
Rooms?
Yes,
absolutely.
Like, is there an argument against it? I mean, after hell, half the league just took a new starting running back to go into their room. The Browns took two quarterbacks and two running backs. They took two guys we liked on this show. They took Quinshon Judkins and Samson, didn't they? The Browns took two different running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't use the Browns as the example of being ineffective at drafting.
I'm just saying, like, their room's better. Sure. Like, on paper, their room's better. I'm not, from a draft perspective, they had an interesting week.
I mean, I don't know if it makes people feel any better, but Rashard Smith graded better in terms of, like, a lot of people's evaluation than DJ Giddens, who was picked in the fifth round, then Devin Neal, then Damian Martinez. So he was in that ilk of, you know, the second tier, like the back half of the second tier. I mean, Jarquez
Hunter, but not in every other NFL. Can I say though? But not in every NFL team's mind. They had seven chances. When we're talking seventh round, we can definitely put this out. I don't care how he tested. 32 teams, seven times over.
I mean, yeah, it's the same reason why Kobe Bryant, for instance, wasn't even selected, and he was signed by the Falcons as an undrafted free agent. Everybody views things differently. It's interesting to see. It felt like, and I think I texted you guys this, it felt weird how it wasn't just Shador, but many people who we thought Jalen Royal sliding to where he did, it felt like there were more players that slid way further back in the draft than what we typically see. And I don't know if that's just inaccuracy based on mock drafts or if teams really had that much disparity in how they viewed different prospects.
Some of this is just, I'll be honest, like some of this is just personal draft fatigue. If I got to see one more tweet about an undrafted free agent out of Virginia, they're like, dog, guy's a beast. Can't believe they scored him. I saw that for 57 prospects. They're not all dudes. They're not all beasts. Watch this guy tear up the tape. 95% of them, their NFL dream will be a practice squad, one of the 16 guys who maybe occasionally get on an active roster for a millisecond. Like, they're not all dudes in the seventh round. Every team seemed to think they got a dude in the seventh round, and that's just not how it works.
Like, I think overall the room is, like we were talking about what it means for 2025. It's fine. It's not going to be.
The Chiefs aren't now
guaranteed to not win X amount of games because of it. But if you wanted them to be more explosive in the running back room, I don't buy that they did that. And if we're talking about the future with all the other picks, then to me, you're setting yourself up for 2026, and I guess it's fine. 2026, where from a running back perspective, you are probably going to either have to spend a decent amount of money on a free agent running back, which I really don't want them to do, or you're going to have to spend a premium pick next year in a draft running back class that's probably not as deep, so you might be pressed to actually spend a first or second round pick on that position. And Smith could be a very nice spellback this year. I'm not acting like this guy's going to be horrific. It's just more that you maybe missed out on an opportunity to really address the position, and they chose not to. And maybe we should have known this, Drew. We were all texting over the weekend. You mentioned Kareem Hunt. Maybe we should have known when they drafted Kareem Hunt. It was the concern we had that day when they re-signed him. I should say when they re-signed Kareem Hunt. We said, hey, does this mean they're not going to draft a running back? And we're like, no, they certainly will. Well, it kind of did. They did.
Yeah. They waited till the seventh round. They took a flyer. They took an absolute dart throw. Obviously had an impact there.
You know who would be labeled as the dog for the Chiefs in terms? I'm looking at their undrafted free agent list right now.
Oh boy,
He may end up being a fan favorite where people are
We already know Royals will be a favorite. That jersey, the Royals with the Chiefs jersey, is going to be an all-time seller.
Mac Delaina, wide receiver and returner from Fresno State, 4.36 40, had 64 catches for over 1,000 yards last year. He's going to be the guy that makes a great catch at camp and everybody's freaking out.
You're calling him out. That's the guy.
Mac Delaina.
He's a dog, man. Yep. You seen that tape? Every other team in the NFL saw the tape and they thought 50th best undrafted free agent. But sure, I'm sure he's a dog. Guy's a beast. Look at the workout tape. It's just too many players, man.
Just wait till the one-handed catch comes.
I'm not kidding.
Kickoff return for a touchdown, whatever.
There might be. I think, and we could turn it into a whole, I think there might be 200 tweets about different players picked in the seventh round or undrafted free agents that people said that about.
Just because a guy has great college stats doesn't mean he's going to translate to the NFL in any way, shape, or form.
I'm sure he looked great at Toledo. His ass didn't get drafted. It probably not going to work out. He might occasionally, right? Turk Wharton comes in the league and the guy works out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's a 0%. It's never zero.
Yeah, again, this is the only thing I was disappointed about in the entire weekend. That was it. Everything else, I understand the logic behind. Even hell, I understand the logic with trading up to get a linebacker in the fifth round. Like I logically, everything makes sense. Their first round pick makes sense. Does it all mean it's going to work? Of course not. The one thing I don't get was waiting until the seventh round to get to draft a running back. That's it. That's really my big complaint.
Maybe not taking corner, but like I liked the value at Royals. I liked that they went double defensive linemen with their first three picks. You know, two of their first three picks. I had no problem there. I like the type of player they targeted, all those things.
We're going to talk more at 11 o'clock hour, but like, I also don't have a problem with them going defense heavy again. I think there's a very logical reason that they went defense heavy. I know there's some that really disagree with that thought they needed to go and just basically give Mahomes more weapons. I guess to that would just be the drafting a running back earlier. Otherwise, I have no problem. I think defensively, they have way too many guys with expiring contracts that they needed to do what they did.
I'd give it a solid B with a tremendous amount of upside, but a whole lot of unknown. Like just a good old solid B.
Ironically, the Buffalo Bills seem to do the exact same thing that the Chiefs did in terms of drafting defense heavy, not going with the weapons.
Man, we're going to have to play it later. Brett Veach isn't calling into the show today, I don't believe. Brandon Bean did over in Buffalo, and he let their hosts have it.
Did he?
Over there. They were really upset in Buffalo because they didn't take a wide receiver. And the general, and we can play it later in the show, but the general sense of it was, we were the number one offense in the league last year. What exactly is your problem with the wide receivers? The Chiefs, in this case, this is, I think, where you and I are making the argument. Chiefs weren't the number one offense in the league last year, and they lacked explosiveness at the running back position, partially due to the injuries that they sustained and having to go back to Kareem Hunt. You and I are still pretty big believers in Isaiah Pacheco. Again, I think the optimist outlook of this is they think Pacheco's going to be really good again. And that, you know, like they're not worried about their room because Pacheco will carry the room again. And if you go back to rookie year Pacheco, I can't even argue the point. It's just coming off the injury, he got hurt. Elijah Mitchell, that's, you want to talk about just another wild card. He started 11 games in three full NFL seasons. He's played in 25. Like, maybe he helps the room, but like, I can't bank on that in any way. That can't be your plan going into the year, I guess.